So I want to thank you, Jerry, because your meditation really focused on awareness, and I thought, oh, that's so important for communication. And so then I thought, I know what my title is now. It's Practicing with Awareness and Communication in Our Daily Life. So I appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. And that is my goal, that as I communicate to you this morning, my talk, that I'm aware while I'm communicating. And then when you practice in breakout groups, that you carry the awareness that began with Jerry's guided meditation and into that also. So we're coming to the end of our Sunday sit focus on communication and the Dharma in daily life. And hopefully this opportunity to reflect on our speaking and listening habits has led to some insights and discoveries that are helping us in our daily life, and with following our Dharma path and with lessening our suffering and deepening our mindfulness and increasing our freedom. In looking back over the teachings this month, some themes pop up. Kindness, mindfulness, honesty, receptivity on the one hand, views, prejudices, assumptions, projections, reactivity on the other. The Buddha emphasized the importance of right speech when he made it one of the folds in the Eightfold Path. From the point of view of what it is not, he said, and what is right speech? Abstaining from lying, from divisive speech, from abusive speech, and from idle chatter. From the point of view of what it is, he said, right speech is spoken at the right time. It's spoken in truth. It's spoken affectionately. It's spoken beneficially. And it's spoken with a mind of goodwill. Speech is also addressed in the five precepts. We take the vow to refrain from harmful speech. We take the vow to cultivate loving speech and deep listening. We can keep in mind the other qualities that are encouraged in the precepts, the other four precepts, as we speak and listen too. Because in our speech and listening, we can cultivate boundless compassion for all beings. We can practice generosity. We can practice responsibility. And we can refrain even from intoxications that could lead to our carelessness in speaking or hearing or writing. Communication through speaking, listening, reading, and writing, because of course there's a lot of emails and texts flying around, is for most of us a big part of our daily life. And when we include inner speech, the way we talk and listen to ourselves, we can see that communication is really almost omnipresent. It has so much to do with our relationships, with how we connect with or disconnect from others and ourselves as well. Yet a lot of our speaking, especially, is automatic, habitual, very fast, and sometimes impulsive. A lot of the intentions and some assumptions, perceptions, and views that underlie what we say and hear are unconscious and based on ignorance. One of the points that was made this month, as Tiweri said in her first talk, we need to slow down and pay attention. The Buddha, I have been reminded, emphasized to his son Rahula that he should reflect before he speaks, during speaking, and after. And Sylvia Borstein, a teacher from Spirit Rock, created an acronym, WAIT. She said we should ask ourselves, WYAMIIT, talking, WAIT. So the Buddha emphasized mindful speech, thoughtful speech, which requires a pause, time to reflect. In order to be mindful, we need to pause to be aware of our intentions, our filters, and our reactivity. And how do we do that? We pay attention as we're before, after, during speaking to our body sensations. You know, are there messages that our body's giving us about the beneficialness of whatever we're saying, or maybe the opposite? Maybe we should pause and rethink. Feeling tones. Are we feeling pleasantness or unpleasantness as we speak? Are we just neutral? Are we maybe talking automatically and not even reflecting or being present with what we're saying? Are there thoughts going through our head, messages that are like a subtext to what we're saying? And emotions, do we feel peaceful as we're communicating? Safe, balanced, grounded, or are we feeling anxious? We can pause. We can always pause and reroute. I have an example. Last Monday night, Tim set us up in dyads and told us we would be answering the question, what really matters to you? We were asked to do more than just answer the question. We were asked to be aware of what was going on in our heart and body as we answered the question, and to actually share that as we shared our answer to the question. So it's kind of like meta conversation. In this way, we would bring mindfulness to the forefront, and we would share our mindfulness with each other. So I wondered who my partner would be, and I hoped I could be honest and present, not protective and self-conscious. It turned out that I was paired with one of my best friends. We laughed and admitted we were both relieved to be doing the dyad with each other. This would be easy. I shared first. As I shared, I actually didn't feel wholehearted, but I wasn't aware of that at the time. This is in retrospect. I answered the question, describing something that really mattered to me, but there was nothing fresh or new in it. Nevertheless, the time to switch came and my sharing ended. My partner started to share, and I started comparing, thinking she's answering this question better than I did. And when she had shared for a minute or two, she suddenly said, "You know, I haven't been aware at all while I've been talking." And at that moment, I realized that I had totally forgotten that we were supposed to be aware and share what we were noticing in our awareness. I had been totally identified with content of my speaking. So for me, when I thought about the Buddha's guidelines, I thought this is an example of careless speech. I'd been slightly intoxicated with the idea that my good friend was my partner, and because of that, I missed an opportunity to speak a deeper truth, one that might have revealed an insight that could have brought me closer to my partner and might have revealed something we both could have benefited from. When the session ended and I heard others share how powerful that experience had been for them, I saw what I had missed. We're fortunate to have opportunities to communicate with spiritual friends. And the qualities of deep listening, sharing deep truths, and connecting in a space of our vulnerability and our common humanness are qualities we can carry over into other areas of our daily life. Even though we may feel not quite as safe with some situations, we can still remember the value and the goodness of what comes in our spiritual friendships. It's in being mindful and present to what is happening in the moment that we will know how to receive words and express them with wisdom and kindness. There are two practices that Tiwary wanted to include in our focus on communication in daily life. One I'm quite familiar with, and that's Insight Dialogue by Gregory Kramer. The other is Nonviolent Communication, created by Marshall Rosenberg, which I did take a day long using that technique. It's been adapted by Orin J. Sofer to mindfulness practice in his book, Mean What You Say, A Mindful Approach to Nonviolent Communication. I don't know, some of you may be familiar with these processes with communication. You can take whole retreats to learn these practices and read the books that describe their processes, but that's not the time to do this right now. So I thought, how can I present the essence of these practices in a way that might be transferable to your daily life? And this is what I'm going to share with you. Both of these practices, meaning the nonviolent communication and insight dialogue, incorporate ideas we've been talking about all month. Paramount to both practices is speaking the truth based on our own direct experience. How do we know something's true? Byron Katie has talks on this and asks that we question, is this true? Is this really true? Or is it just a belief, a thought we're thinking? And the best way to know something is really true is to experience it ourselves. Utejaniya, a teacher in our tradition, says how much speech is important, and that we shouldn't really, if we're just be quiet if we don't haven't had a firsthand experience with something that we're saying is true. And there's another teacher, Rosenfeld, I think, and he has a lot of talks about views and talking with difficult people. And he said what's really important is to not share any opinions or ideas unless you've actually experienced it firsthand, that you're going to have a difficult time trying to convey what you think is right if you don't have firsthand experience. It's the firsthand experience that it's the firsthand experience that matters. So how do you get that firsthand experience? Well, I wasn't really speaking from fresh firsthand experience when I shared Monday night with Tim. I needed to take some time to reconnect with what is true for me. And that means I needed to pause. And the first step in each of these processes is to pause and become mindful of the present moment, to be present. And then to the second step, this is an insight dialogue, is to relax. And when we relax, we can soften around whatever experience is coming up. And if it happens to be something like tension, anger, fear, aversion, wanting to be seen in a certain way, we can accept that just for what it is. This is the way I'm feeling right now. We can soften around whatever's there. And then we can be ready for the next step. This is all something to prepare us to actually speak the truth and to listen deeply. There's a preparation that we need to establish first. In the nonviolent communication that Orin J. Sofer talks about, he said we need to check in with our intention. And our intention needs to be to understand. So we relax around an intention that might be to convince and loosen that, loosen our grip on our need to convince and open to, I'm going to understand what this other person is saying. The third step in Insight Dialogue is trust emergence. So, it's open. His is open also. So there's both a relaxing and an opening that needs to be done when we want to have a deep conversation, a meaningful conversation. And then the fourth step, and again, this is all before we're preparing to speak. It's our reflection before we speak, is to trust emergence so we stay connected to the changing process of what's going on and trust that we can let go of our grasping heart or our controlling mind and connect to what's coming up for us, what's emerging, what's resonating. So we're connecting to our intuitive insights. In nonviolent communication, Orin J. Sofer talks about attention. And his attention, he said, attention should be on what matters. So that's what matters to you yourself generally, your values, what really matters. And also to the specific conversation, what are the needs for you in this conversation? What really matters to you in this conversation? And then to respect and find out what matters to the other person. What are their values? That's like the seeking to understand. So these are all actions and steps and practices we can try to incorporate into our speech to make it wiser and kinder. And in another example of, I think, that this someone doing this process was something that Tweri shared. And in one of her talks this month for the Sunday sit, she shared her reaction to what she perceived to be a woman scowling at her. But in checking out and being aware of what was going on with her during the time that she was reacting to this woman, really, she reacted. She was angry at the woman and had all sorts of internal dialogue of what she thought that woman deserved because she was scowling at her. But then Tweri realized that she was actually suffering because she was mindful enough to stay with her response. And she decided to give the woman a big grin. And at that point, the woman grinned back. So Tweri was looking at what really mattered to her, and to what really mattered to her was not to suffer. And it turned out that that might have been the same thing that mattered to that woman. She did, she did stop scowling and she did smile back. So Tweary's response invited that other person to also respond in a way that was really mattered to them. So I'm glad we're ending on transforming a scowl into a grin, because it gives me the opportunity to add something else that I think is really important that we talked about this week, but that I had written notes about and I hadn't actually was trying to figure out when to bring it in. So the first thing that I found in my notes was a statement from Orin J. Sofer, and he said, "One caring remark can make a difference." And I thought, oh, that is so true. That is so true. And then another sentence that I wrote down in my notes was from Susan Alatrico, our friend. She said, "Show appreciation in speech. There's not enough of it." I think of even a few words of kindness or a gesture of warmth or a grin. There's a lot of nonverbal communication that goes into communication too, can transform the whole atmosphere of a difficult conversation. So in conclusion, I'm going to read a part of a poem that is a communication from a father to his daughter about what matters and the power that it can have to offer someone else your truth, the deepest truth you can find in a moment. And so this is a poem for my daughter by Teddy Macker. He says, "It seems we have made pain some kind of mistake, like having it is somehow wrong. Don't let them fool you. Pain is a part of things. But remember, dear Ellie, the compost down in the field, if the rank and dank and dark are handled well, not merely discarded, but turned and known and honored, then one day they come to beds of rich earth, home even to the most delicate rose. God comes to you disguised as your life. Blessings often arrive as trouble. In French, the word blessé means to wound and relates to the old English bletsian, to sprinkle with blood. And in Sanskrit, there is a phrase to carry with you wherever you go, sarvam annam. Everything is food. Every last thing. The Navajo people, it is said, intentionally wove obvious flaws into their sacred quilts. Why? It is there, they say, in the mistake, in the imperfection, through which the Great Spirit moves. Life is easy, yes, and life is hard. Life is simple, yes, and life is complex. We are tough, yes, but we are also fragile. Everything's eternally perfect, but help out if you can." So we can try to help out in our speech, be aware of imperfections, mistakes, and in communication, we spend a lot of time making mistakes, trying to resolve mistakes. There's a lot of imperfection in our life and in our communication. But if we are aware and can accept it and see it for what it is, we can move forward into very powerful and heartfelt speech. So Thank you for your attention this morning. As far as the breakout groups, what I was thinking was that...
Lauren, excuse me. Yeah. Deanna asked whether... Could you say the name of the author again of the poem?
Oh, yes. It's Teddy Macker, M-A-C-K-E-R. Teddy Macker. And he does have a collection of poetry. I looked him up. So I think you'll find him on the internet. Thank you. So I'll just say the idea for the breakout room is that there are things that we've been trying to cultivate this month and things we've been trying to refrain from with respect to communication. So some of the things that we're trying to cultivate are kindness, mindfulness, honesty, receptivity, meaningful speech, speaking at the right time, compassion, generosity, pausing and reflecting. And I'm sure there's something that you have been noticing over the month that you really want to cultivate. And then there's things we've been trying to refrain from, such as dishonesty, divisive speech, abusive speech, idle chatter, carelessness, and our views that become prejudices or projections, unconscious or conscious. So pick what you're cultivating. Pick something you're trying to cultivate or something you're trying to refrain from, and share that with the people in your small group. And as you do, pause and relax and open and trust emergence. And see if you can share maybe one thing about what you're aware of as you share. Just a bit of awareness. Don't make the mistake I did and just plow ahead, you know, totally invested in the content of what you're saying. Okay, I think everybody's back. So if you'd like to share out something that you talked about, was talked about in your group or anything else, this is a good time. You can just unmute yourself.
We had this fabulous discussion and we started talking about our styles of communication and learning other people's styles and trying to find some way of syncing together. And I realized we hadn't really talked about that this month. It was really helpful with Terry and Janelle and just, and of course, it's not as if our style is so fixed that we can't change, but and sometimes we change depending on who the person is and if how safe we feel and whether it's just one person or a bunch of people, if it's our long-standing, you know, or really long-term or new. And it was just really helpful to think about that and sometimes how my style is really offensive to another person. Unintentionally, but just like this is the way with other people, they like it and then this person hates it, you know. And so anyway, that was really helpful to me to think about it that way.
Yeah, because I was thinking for some people they need to pause more, for others they might need to pause less, and it's just people do have different styles for sure. Yeah, it would be nice if, do you want to share what style, in any specific styles, anything that you noticed that were different?
I thought maybe Terry or Janelle would want to jump in because it was really helpful.
You can't unmute? Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
She is.
Okay. One of the things we talked about was some of us come from families where interrupting is acceptable or encouraged, and then some people don't like that. So you know, I think that can happen a lot. I think this Zoom world also, you know, might factor in there too, where, you know, there's a little bit more tendency to wait. I find in my work Zooms, there's a lot of people that still interrupt, and then it's pure chaos because there's not one person speaking and then everyone listening. But that was one of the things we talked about, was the interrupting part.
Yeah.
Interesting. And go ahead.
It's hard to jump in, you know, And so if it's just one person, it's much easier. But then if there's one more person, I don't quite know how to get in there.
Are you talking about Zoom?
I'm talking about just
anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime, you know. Yeah.
So yes, often, I do.
often I'm very quiet, you know, but I'm not really a quiet person. I just don't know how to get in there.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things
that
our group talked about was the function of silence, of creating spaciousness, and how that can be an invitation to other people. And so what you're saying, it really strikes me that sometimes we need to create those invitations for other people.
Got a hand raised over here, Lauren.
Lily. That is good. A good point. Yes, I see Lillian or Nikhil.
Yeah, I forgot to think about the sort of the meta cognition about what we were experiencing as we shared, but something that did come up for me was that Nikhil shared something, and I found myself wanting to respond to convince him of another perspective. And so that was something that I was just trying to like be more conscious of. So, that like convincing versus what Lauren suggested of listening to understand. So.
Yeah, I think that's a big one, that often we don't even realize how we're attached to having somebody else see it the way we do. Yeah. I really heard that. Seek to understand as really important. And I know in my own life, like especially with my daughter, that I have really tried consciously to be aware when I'm trying to push my view of the way she should be and what she should think, and to just understand where she's coming from. That's been a really big growth piece for me. And the silence, yeah, I think that is really important too. And it's not a style in our country to have silence and to, but from everything that I've studied in this topic, a silence is really an important piece. And I don't know if you've noticed, when our teachers are teaching, Tim and Tweri and other teachers, they pause to get, I can see them, and maybe some of you do too, that I can see them pausing to get it really, what's really true. When they listen to people share and ask questions, I'll see them pause and be getting in touch with, you know, what is a true answer? How are they responding? So I think that's really important personally.